is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
All right, welcome to episode number 2 of Refuel Radio.
Wow. Can you believe we have an actual name?
I was just about to say that. You stole my thunder. Last time we called it Okie Radio. I remember fumbling because I wasn't quite sure what to call it. But we can officially say the voters had their say and Refuel Radio came out on top.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. I think it was like 56%.
Oh, I didn't see the actual vote. I just go with
voters.
What you guys say. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice that it was a...
It matters.
That it wasn't debatable.
Voters.
Okay. You know what? I just realized our first Refuel Radio podcast, we never introduced ourselves. So I think we started out because we were so excited and we just wanted to start talking. I saw a microphone.
I just thought everyone knew us.
I think that literally is probably what we thought.
Yeah. We were so narcissistic.
I wasn't going to say that, but that's exactly what I was thinking, the same thing. But I listened to it a couple of nights ago. And in fact, my uncle called and he goes, "Was that Chief?" And I go, "Oh, we never
wow.
introduced ourselves."
Wow.
So yeah.
I'm glad at least someone's listening to give us that feedback.
So this is Colonel Matthew Gormley. I'm the 507th Air Refueling Wing Commander.
Hey, and I'm Chief Master Sergeant Darren Wiseman, the 507th Command Chief.
Well, Refuel Radio is a big, big hit. It's a big hit out there right now, what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing.
I've had a lot of comments back. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. I don't know if they were just sucking up to me, but they were just saying how great it was.
Well, my family liked it.
Again, I don't know if they were sucking up to us.
I know. My family liked it. But these are supposed to be around 15 minutes, so we're trying to keep them short and sweet so we can – so our members – can listen for the numerous reasons that we talked about last time, whether they're traveling in or they just want to listen to what we have to say, or we tend to try and have guests now on from here on out. But this particular episode will air just prior to the December UTA.
Correct.
That's the goal, which is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Last night, I'm staying in a hotel right now, and I wanted to turn into my hotel. And it was a little late. It was dark because it's getting dark later. And I couldn't turn. These kids were just running down the sidewalk. Yeah. And they're kids. So you can't. I mean, normally I'm like, "Hey, you know, I got to get in there." But they're kids. So I was like, "I'll let them run. They're running. I'm not going to hit them. Not today." So I might want to edit that. I waited probably about 3 or 4 minutes. That's a long time sitting in your car. So I go in, go upstairs. I come in the next morning and Colonel Marquez, LRS commander, said, "Hey, did you go to the Christmas tree lighting downtown?" I was like, that's why all those kids were on the sidewalks. So, yeah. So I guess there was a giant Christmas tree, which I have yet to see, downtown Oklahoma City, which I hear is beautiful. And they have a traditional Christmas lighting where everyone's there that I missed. And I guess it was right next to my hotel. But it just reminded me that Christmas, here it comes. Here it comes.
Right.
Have you been deployed over Christmas before? Have you had to do any of those kind of things before?
Why you got
to
call that out?
It's not a competition, believe me. It's really not. It's not. But I have.
Right. Well, tell me about it.
I guess really where I was going with this is the sacrifices our members make over the holidays. And whether it's over Christmas or it's the weeks leading up to Christmas or it's that, you know, UTA in December, that's still a weekend away from your family. And for a lot of our members, it's not just a weekend. It's that Thursday, Friday prior to the UTA. And sometimes it's that Monday, Tuesday. There's a lot of days there and it's in December and you're away from your family.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite memory, though, like at home? Do you have a favorite tradition when it comes to Christmas?
So I one of the things always, each family celebrates differently. So my father liked to celebrate where we have a German background that evening.
Yeah.
And then my mother's side celebrates that morning. So that's not necessarily it's a memory, but it's always, even at the youngest age, I was confused.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know if that sounds great, but yeah, at the youngest ages, it was different. But we all have those fun memories. What about you?
This is a little secret probably that no one may know outside of my family, but I love nutcrackers.
Like, oh, that's a first. I've never heard anyone said that.
I don't know if I've ever told you, by the way.
No, that's something you never shared with me before.
But I absolutely love them. And every time I see one, I have to buy one. Like, I'm obsessed about it.
With nutcrackers.
So after Thanksgiving, all the nutcrackers come out all over the house. And so for me, when the nutcrackers come out, I know we're running right into Christmas. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I was in Target. Halloween had just happened. Christmas stuff's up in Target now. I heard Christmas music. So anyway, it just keeps getting pushed back and back and back.
This is my favorite season for sure.
Everyone loves it. There's Christmas lights on all the houses already. Thanks for the nutcracker stories. That was just something you never shared.
Yeah.
We're kind of coming to an end. You know, in June, both of our commands are probably coming to an end. And it took a long time for you to share those stories. So I appreciate it.
I've kind of held back.
Yeah.
I didn't want any prejudgments.
Speaking of stories, speaking of someone who probably has quite a few stories, today's guest is Senior Master Sergeant Scholes, Jeremy Scholes.
Woo! Hey. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome. Welcome to Refuel Radio, episode 2, our first guest.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
It's a big deal. And there was a long list of guests. Most of them weren't available. And you were just right down the hall.
I'm like the fourth man down. Yeah.
Didn't get any RSVPs. I don't know what's going on here.
Honestly, all jokes aside, you are the first person we thought about. And there's all kinds of reasons there. But resiliency, your 2002 is when you came to this unit. There's so many things that you bring to this unit. And I'll have more to say at the end of this podcast about this, but you want to just introduce yourself and kind of tell us about yourself and anything.
Yeah. And maybe something about Christmas.
Yeah. So let me start with Christmas memory. Right. So
Oklahoma Christmas memory.
Oklahoma Christmas. So I'm blessed enough to have all of my family here in Oklahoma.
That is great.
Good and bad, right? So family comes together all the time.
Good point.
It could be
good
challenging. But favorite memory really over the past 20 years is me and my family have set the day after Thanksgiving, we always put the tree, we decorate the house, we go crazy. The day after New Year's, it all comes down. It goes to the back in the box. But to back up, I love getting together. And that's really the time we're watching Christmas movies. We've got Christmas music on. We have time to just kind of settle. No matter what's going on, the chaos, that's the best time for us is right after Thanksgiving. And then we've got it set up where it's got to come down.
When you start the music? Like when do you start the music?
When we wake up.
Right after
coffee's going.
Right after Thanksgiving. Right coffee's after always going in your house, I bet. I mean, you're a coffee connoisseur.
And so are my kids.
Are they? I have a lingering question. Any nutcrackers in your house?
You know, that whenever I thought that, I thought, you know, we used to go to the play.
Yes, that's
and
what I was
thinking. Done as soon as you said that, because I did the ballet one time. I'm never going again.
Wait, you were in the ballet?
I went to the ballet.
Oh, you went to the ballet. Okay. Yes, sir. I just wanted to clarify.
That would have been a whole
listeners. No.
Because you would be in episode number 3 of Refuel Radio if you could tell me about being in the ballet.
Let's go ahead and interview
in the ballet nutcracker. That's really the...
That's awesome.
All right. Sorry. Continue.
You're good. So, going back to being in the unit since 2002, sir, I've been in the guard. I was in the guard in Tulsa, came into the 507th in 2002 as an ART in ISO as a senior airman, and spent the past 16 or between guard 137th and the 507th, I've spent a lot of years in maintenance, 18 years, just enjoying the people, the Oki family. And it's just amazing to see all of the folks that are just friends and family and taking care of each other. So I've really enjoyed the entire time that I've been here.
And so you're civilian. So talk to a little about your civilian world, what you do, because you're an AGR right now.
Yes, sir.
But talk to us about what you did before you became the AGR, you know, as a TR.
As a TR. So if you want to go into my background in maintenance, so I was in an ART until about 2008. And then I found an opportunity in the depot. So I went over to the depot as a logistics manager, stayed here, went to the 137th. You know, we got BRAC back in 2008, 2009.
Yep.
They offered me a promotion opportunity. So I jumped over, never left the 507th. Literally, I was in the unit, but in the same building, 1030, which is insane. So while I did jump units, I was still here working with the same people. It was amazing. But in aircraft maintenance, I was on the flight line, worked in ISODOC. Production controller, working in plans and scheduling, TCTOs. I was also a maintenance management analyst, so crunching the data. Did that for a few years. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, so then I decided, well, you know, let's go try something else. I went in the mock, career advisor, and then also finished up as a pro super before. I'm like, you know, I want to go and be a first sergeant.
All in the 507th, what you just said.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
And how many total years of service do you have right now?
25 plus.
Okay.
Wow. So, and for all those that are listening, you're retiring.
just talk about your retirement and how, tell us about what it to make that decision. Because we got listeners from brand new to thinking the same types of things, retiring. What, how did that go with your family? Was it time, you know?
Yes, sir. So it's actually interesting. So when I worked in the mock years ago, I had a friend who I'm still friends with now. And he told me, he said, you're going to know when you're ready to retire. Like it's, gotcha. No one's going to tell you, you're just going to have a feeling and it's going to weigh on you. And over time, I didn't want to go. I'm on a 4-year AGR tour.
Yep.
I'm really excited about going back to my civilian job and not having to be pulled in both directions. Yep. While it's a challenge to everybody, every day, I did it for 25 years. But I'm ready for that opportunity to focus on one thing and not focus on.
You don't think you're going to miss it? So you're going to miss the people?
No, I will. I'm going to miss
it. You'll miss the people, but you won't miss being pulled. The pull, that it's constant, the constant turmoil.
Yes, sir. Because I'm OCD, right? So I want to be effective, whatever I'm doing.
Right.
And so it's so hard to have that, you know, that pull. Yes, sir.
I would say you here at this wing, you have probably been the poster child, if you will, of resiliency, right? I mean, your current job is wing resiliency integrator. And since I've been at this wing, it is a rotating door, and you know, for airmen to come inside to meet with you, to talk with you. You pointing them in the right directions of different agencies, helping agencies for them. So because you're the poster child of it, how do you define resiliency?
Sure.
And why do you think it's important in the workplace? Because you talked about this push-pull, being a reservist, having a full-time job on the outside. I mean, there's a lot. And then wanting to do family stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff is churning. So kind of talk to us a little bit about that.
So resiliency is it's different to everybody. Everybody defines it a little differently and they see it differently. But really, resiliency is life, right? Challenges are going to happen to each and every one of us, whether it's a financial problem or it's family. Anybody has family, nobody's perfect, right?
Right.
At work, is everything going to go perfectly? Absolutely not, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be people you maybe don't get along with. Maybe you have requirements that are just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Resiliency is when you go in through those challenges, how are you going to perform? Are you going to break down? Or are you going to continue and then at some point take a knee, take a break, but then continue the mission? And so for me, it's not only getting through it, but it's also learning. Because sometimes whenever you have an issue, I could have done that better. What am I going to do different next time? Or how can I prevent it next time? Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a broad, it's really a broad term. But for me, it's life.
So
how do we get through life?
I think I said this at, I think basically every commander's call, I don't have a ton of them, but the ones that I think that we've had, that's exactly how I define it. Everyone, to include myself, chief, you, everyone in this room, goes home to life.
Sure.
That's how I define it. Life brings what life brings. It's always different. Every day is different. And how you get through that is probably the, like you said, the definition of resiliency. And having someone like you, knowing that that you are at the wing, and as our members go through that it's you, and now we have Amy Guillory and our DPH, our Director of Psychological Health, the two of you together is the team.
Yes, sir.
It is, and I can tell you, I speak to other wing commanders, and we have this is just the it's a freaking standout team. So losing you is it's gonna be felt around the wing, and I think you saw that at your going away lunch, you know, and you're gonna see that just as you move forward. I'm sure people are gonna reach it out and say how much they appreciate everything you did, you know.
Yes, so sir. Well, but, and I just also want to caveat that. So we have so many good first sergeants and so many people that we've been mentoring over the years. Right. So I'm really excited about the next generation, right? Because there's gonna be guys that are gonna come in now with ideas and things that we haven't thought about. So I'm really excited
to see
what that's going to look like. Yes, sir.
So in your own words, how do you think we could build resiliency?
Well, so it's not one size fits all. Everybody has different backgrounds, different lifestyles, different, you know, we all have different jobs. We don't all have the same time to work out, maybe to attend a spiritual event, whatever that looks like. It's different. So, and to me, it's what fits you. For example, I like to go to the gym 5 days a week. I like to go fly fishing, and fly fishing when I can get away. And there are a couple of places in Oklahoma for anybody that's thinking, well, how do you go fly fishing?
I was wondering the same thing.
Yes. So Blue River, about an hour and a half from where I live, there I can fly fish. They actually stock it. They started in October, and I'm going to be going at least once a month.
And there's water because we've had a pretty significant drought.
Oh, yeah. No, it's spring fed. It's beautiful. And it's kind of a secret, but Now I think I've just
passed that information.
Not a secret anymore. And then we also have down in Broken Bow, there is another.
So my son is halfway done with his fly fishing merit badge. Oh. He went to West Virginia and couldn't quite finish it. We are doing this.
That's awesome.
I would love to take him, not just to finish that up, but I've always wanted to do this.
It's wonderful.
Oh, that's so
cool. If you got ADHD, it's even better. Like I do.
But I really like what you're saying here, because not every path is the same for each individual. And I think that even as teammates, as wingmen, we have to help each other find our individual paths.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might have someone that likes to be a gamer, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's how they vent, they relax. Mm-hmm. Others may be underwater basket weaving, which is, going to be an Olympic sport here soon. So, whatever that looks like for you.
Well, they did take away breakdancing.
I heard. No, it's breaking. It's not breaking.
I'm sorry. That individual from Australia has retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably gold-plated shoes, I heard.
So my parachute pants don't – I mean, they still fit. No, they don't. I was going to bring them out this summer. I didn't realize it.
I don't know.
I'm taking
– That's probably not – that's not gonna build my resilience.
I don't know.
Bring those out.
Me wearing those brings out everyone's resilience. It does. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was just saying, so honestly, everybody has – they have different times, different things that fit them. And so it's finding what that is. And if you don't know where to get it, talk to somebody. I guarantee there's a resource in the Air Force, whether it's your supervisor, first sergeant, commander, anybody on the helping agencies on base can give you the tools and the resources. And it may be if you live in a different state, which we got a lot of people that do, we have resources for them.
Yeah, that's great. So we've all experienced failure and setbacks in our life, I would think.
Absolutely.
Do you have like a story or maybe some comments regarding how do you bounce back from that? And how do you regain your confidence when you feel like the kind of world's kind of falling apart in your career and you thought you had control over it? So kind of speak to that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure. So starting off my first part of my career, my entire goal was I wanted to be an officer. I literally took the Air Force officer qualifying test. Took it 2 times. I got 1 point under what I needed in order to be an officer. I scored high on the pilot side because I had my private pilot's license. I literally was aiming to be a pilot, and that wasn't my cards. So you know what? The Air Force is amazing. There's so many opportunities. I took a different path. That's probably why I moved around so much in maintenance, because I wanted a challenge all the time. And so no matter what, even though I that wasn't in my cards, I wouldn't be here today if I had not taken on that next challenge and looked for opportunities. And so I went the enlisted path, and I was going to go high one way or another just because that's my drive. But to me, it didn't stop me. It did hurt what I wanted to do, for a little bit. But at the end of the day, I knew, man, the Air Force has been great.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I could to get where I am today. Because I could tell you, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have told you I'd be at the wing. I wouldn't have wanted to get up in front of people and talk. That was when I was like, when I retire, I'm walking out the door. Here I am, not afraid to get up and talk with anybody. It's just getting out of your comfort zone, not being afraid. Plans change, life changes. Mm-hmm. So you just got to adapt to it.
So the first sergeant, you said, did I misunderstand? I thought you said that you wanted to be a first sergeant. That was something you...
Yes, sir.
That was a goal of yours.
Well, in my original path, it wasn't.
Right.
After 18 years in aircraft maintenance, I knew, I wouldn't say I'd mastered everything.
Right.
But
I've
been so many different areas. It's like, all right, I want something more challenging. The Air Force has been great for me. So how do I give back? Well, one of them is step out of your comfort zone. Because when you become a first sergeant, you move to another squadron. I learned that there's a new part of the Air Force when I moved.
You bet.
But then also the leadership opportunities it gave me, and to help people. I had a few first sergeants that were mentors to me, and they gave me a lot of guidance and push to hey, you would be great at this. You like taking care of people, and you've already, what else are you going to do in maintenance besides become a chief, right? So I took the leap, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying is that it's not really the external environment that could impact an individual, but it's how you deal with it internally, perspective, attitude, and effort, right? And I think with a lot, I know there's a lot of probably other words and qualities that we could probably describe here, but really at that core element of perspective, attitude, and effort, we could pretty much do anything, and the doors will fly open. And if one door closes, one door will open. But keeping that in mind internally, that what you can control, right, which is inside,
right,
how you see things, I think that would help kind of build that confidence and keep moving forward. Because I mean, I've had failures and setbacks in my life too.
Of course,
I mean,
we all have. Of yeah. course, you bet.
And I've
you
always bet. Thought that, well, maybe yep. this is the end, but it really wasn't. Yep. So right. it's just kind of me working that out. Absolutely. Talking to friends, mm-hmm. talking to colleagues, talking to mentors. Yeah.
Well, and I always took the thought process, education, get it. Whatever the requirements are, I want to be told no because of an interview or for something, not mm-hmm. because of a qualification.
You aren't able to. So, I see.
So I right. always took that right. approach.
And let's just start at 507th in 10 years. Is what changes do you see coming right now? Or do you see basically the first sergeant position remaining the same? Is it? And I'm not... I know first sergeants, I understand first sergeants, but I don't, the actual job itself, obviously I've never been a first sergeant. So do you see that position changing? Do you see the future of the first sergeant program?
Evolving.
Yeah. So a good call. Evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been yep. a little while since I've been to the academy, 2018, right? A few years, but a few of the new first sergeants that are coming through have said they are changing the role of the first sergeant. They are adding some additional, getting more first sergeants engaged in training. Actually yeah. being part, not necessarily in the operations, but be more engaged from that aspect. So I see that from a first sergeant mm-hmm. specific, but also from my perspective, they're looking at even breaking out first sergeant and wing resiliency integrator. Right. So I could see that really morphing into.
I see.
I don't know what that looks like, if they're going to have, you know, two full-time AGR first sergeants and a wing resiliency integrator or what that is, but there's been a lot of talk about it. But ultimately, it's going to be what the Air Force, as we evolve, as we change, I think we're going to adapt. Right. So we talked about this yesterday.
Right.
We're very adaptable. We can where whatever the need is, we will find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. I've always said that the first sergeant role is a servant of servants. Right. Because we all put on the uniform. We want to serve our country. And that's part of our DNA. But when you put on that diamond.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you are a servant of servants.
Absolutely.
And it is a yeah. calling. And I appreciate, like, our First Sergeant Council, mm-hmm. The things that you've done, you know what I mean, as a First Sergeant over the many, many years. The impact that you've had is going to be long-lasting, not just in this wing, but in the lives of airmen that you've counseled, or that you've coached or mentored. But sure. it's that conversation, you know what I mean, and connection, which I absolutely love, especially from mm-hmm. the First Sergeant Corps.
Yeah, and I would like to say that, you know, not every interaction is going to be perfect, right? So my perception of interaction may be different than others. But at the end of the day, my purpose, and I think all the First Sergeants would say, our best interest is the airman. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't come across that way, right? All as leaders, we can grow, we've learned. In the beginning, was I perfect? Not at all.
Right.
But over time, I've learned just about, you know, how to take care of people. And sometimes you don't get it right every time. But I hope and pray that I did a great job and I mentored lots of people.
So if you could give one piece of advice to an airman, what would it be?
So I go back to where I was. The Air Force has lots of opportunities. Sometimes the one that you want mm-hmm. isn't the mm-hmm. right one, or maybe timing doesn't line up, positions don't line up, whatever that is. Don't be afraid to take
That's
an alternative path.
Yeah.
Because you just,
that's life. It's life. Not just the military. Absolutely. It's life. That's life. And that sounds like me talking to my kids, you know, a step out of your comfort zone. You mentioned a lot of things today that I try and talk to my kids on those topics continuously. You know, but I think that goes for everyone. It doesn't matter your age.
When the door closes, open that other door. Find another door.
So you're retiring, and I'm sure it's full of emotion. I can only imagine, especially as you start to kind of get to it. And you told me earlier today in the hall that it's coming a lot faster than you anticipated, because you're still working. You're still, you know, mentoring your some other support and help to kind of fill in the gap while you're gone. And all that to say is that, you know, we know that you're leaving a legacy. We know that, you know what I mean, you've impacted airmen's lives like we talked about. What are the last kind of words, I guess, through this podcast in the airwaves that probably last a lot longer than maybe most of us, possibly, and that you want to kind of tell the Okies, the 507th here, or even the Air Force Reserve Command, or anybody who wants to listen to this podcast, like, what are some things you want to kind of say? How do you see the future of for the Air Force airmen, either as a whole or here in the air wing? So I'll just kind of let you kind of have last words before we wrap up the podcast.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Appreciate that. So to be fair, there's just so many things that it's hard to put it all into one, right? Because of after 25 years, you've had so many different experiences. But I would say I'm impressed with the number of people that have civilian jobs, experiences. I don't know that we've capitalized it 100%.
That's a great point.
And so if we could take more of those ideas, because people are coming in from different states, different jobs, different backgrounds. There's so much potential there. And because of, you know, just the military in general, we have like these stoic ways of doing things. So if we could break outside the box and these new leaders step in and find ways to make things better, more efficient, I think it will be successful. So I'm really, I'm just amazed. We have doctors coming in, business owners that are signing up to be in the military that don't have to be. They're volunteering for it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's impressive to me. And I always think, well, you know, they should be sitting in my shoes. But at the same time, you know, they're eventually going to. I'm excited to see what that'll look like when they get there. So I think ultimately capitalize on your experience, bring it to us. And as we work together, we can only get better.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Kind of wrap this second edition Refuel Radio up.
You were going to say number two.
I was going to say number two.
And I think that would have been kind of weird on the podcast. I'm going to wrap this number two up. Look at
that. But everything you've done since I've been, when I was here as the deputy, I think I told you this before, but I know that there was, when I was the deputy wing commander, and then when I moved into the front office as the wing commander, what I just didn't quite understand what you were doing. And to be honest, when I was the OSS commander at another base, and then I was the OG, I never had the opportunity to really have a first sergeant. I had one, but he was so good, they stole him within 5 months of my OSS commander tenure. And I saw what it could be, but I didn't have the time with him. And I just, what I've experienced with you right down the hall, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter what the topic, what the problem was. Literally, you were the first person I thought of. Okay, let's get shirt in here. I'll run this by him and let's see what kind of guidance you would give. It has been invaluable. And I know for a fact that every unit in this in our wing, if not across this base, because your name is well known throughout this base, is going to miss everything you bring. All right. And that comes from the heart.
Appreciate that, sir.
You bet. All right. Number two, Refuel Radio. Second edition.
It's in the book.
Radio. It's in the book.
Can you believe it?
You bet. All right. I think we're going to have a third. I think we've been funded for a third. So
we'll have to talk to our public affairs office to determine if a number three is allowed.
All right. But Senior Skulls, congrats. Good luck with everything in your future. Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, sir.
All right.
Thanks for being here.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. And all the listeners, we will be back for another edition next time.
Yeah. See you later.
All right.
War we're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.